This is the Midwest Today Radio Edition. I'm Dan Hurst, and this is the show based on the contents of Midwest Today Magazine. This week, we take a look at a man from the heartland who is one of the most revered figures in American history. Each February, we celebrate the birth of Abraham Lincoln. Born in a log cabin in rural Kentucky, he had barely 18 months of education from itinerant teachers, but he was an avid reader. Thought to be lazy by his family and neighbors, Abe had such an aversion to killing, he avoided hunting and fishing. Yet he later became the most severely tested of our leaders as he held the nation to its founding principles. Famed historian Doris Kearns Goodwin is author of a best-selling book called A Team of Rivals, and she describes what set Lincoln apart.
Well, what he had going for him, which I think is so unusual in political life, is that he had a set of emotional strengths that today we might call emotional intelligence. When he was upset with somebody, he would write what he called a hot letter, where he would write it all down, and then he would put it aside until his emotions cooled down, and then write, never sent, never signed. So what he essentially did is what a great politician does, which is to understand that human relationships are at the core of political success.
Lincoln's friendships with men caused some recent authors to claim he was gay. Doris Kearns Goodwin refutes that.
It is said that because he slept in a bed with his best friend Joshua Speed for 3 years, that that's one indicator of the possibility that he was gay. They also point to letters that Lincoln wrote to Speed, which were quite affectionate and full of a feeling, of intense feeling. And I think that just means that men were more free in that age to express their deep feelings for one another. There was very little friendship between men and women because women were so chaperoned. So that women and women formed very close friendship. Men and men formed close friendships. And I think it was just an age where I wish almost we had it today, where men could really express those feelings as openly as they could then. But I don't think that we can imply from that that sexual contact or sexual intimacy was the end result of those letters or the sleeping in the same bed.
His contemporaries described Abraham Lincoln as shockingly depressed at times, despite his enormous intellect and great oratorical skills. Doris Kearns Goodwin gives us her insights.
I came away feeling that rather than suffering from chronic depression, that Lincoln did have a melancholy temperament from the time he was born. There's a writer named Jerry Kagan who studied children from the ages of 0 to 20 and argues if you look at them even 3 months, 6 months old, you can divide them into whether or not they have a melancholy or a sanguine kind of optimistic temperament. And clearly I think Lincoln had that melancholy temperament. But he also had enormous resources all the way along to figure out how to get himself out of his sad moods, humor being one of them, conversation. During the Civil War, he would go to the play when he wanted to. He went to the theater 100 times during the Civil War, if not more. He would go to the battlefront when he felt sad over the loss of a battle to talk to the soldiers. He had an acute awareness, I think, of his own needs. And except for 2 depressions, which we know about, one when his first love, Ann Rutledge, died, which it's natural for somebody to fall into a depression. And secondly, there were a series of events that took place when he was in his 30s. His best friend Joshua Speed was leaving town, his political career had suffered a blow, and he had broken his engagement to Mary Todd Lincoln. And he really did feel overwhelmed then by depression. And we have letters that he wrote saying that he was the most miserable man on earth, and that if everybody felt like he did, there would not be one cheerful face on earth. And he actually was so frightening to his friends that they removed all razors and scissors from his room, fearing that he might take his life. But his best friend Joshua Speed came to his side and said, Lincoln, if you do not rally, you will die. And he said, I would just as soon die now, but I haven't done anything yet to be remembered by. He had this dream from the time he was young that he was so fearful of just dying and turning to dust, that somehow if he could accomplish something great, this is the way the Greeks used to think, your name would be remembered after you die. And that powered him through the early losses of his childhood, it powered him through his early days in the state legislature, and it helped get him out of this depression. And the great thing is that many years later, when he finally signed the Emancipation Proclamation, Joshua Speed came to see him, and he said, well, Speed, remember that conversation we had when I was in my depths? Well, maybe at last my fondest wish has been realized. I will be remembered after I die.
Our thanks to Doris Kearns Goodwin. You can read a wonderful story called In Search of the Real Abe Lincoln by going to our Midwest Today Magazine website at www.midtod.com. That's MIDTOD.com. I'm Dan Hurst for the Midwest Today Radio Edition.